Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. The border and guns, the absolute right to protect yourself and yours. Where's the line for that, right? Well, I mean, where do you draw the line where when government moves across it, they have infringed upon the absolute right to, in this case, keep and bear arms? The COVID vaccine inspires. And the Patriots rising. My friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Briefly on the border, did you get your $3,200 from the government? Guess what Newsom is planning to give to the illegal immigrants or the illegal migrants who lost work during the lockdown? Well, he's going to distribute $75 million, COVID bucks, to the illegals here. That should, you know, kind of intensify the magnet that's drawing them across the border into our state. But that's nothing, by the way, compared to what Cuomo is doing in New York. He set aside $21 billion, that's billion with a B, to distribute a one-time payout to all the illegals in New York so they can get a $15,600 COVID relief bailout or whatever you want to call it. If the New York illegal can't prove that they are New York residents, well, then they'll only get the, you know, the $3,200 that regular Americans get, that the citizens get. Now, the particular article from which I'm getting this information includes a picture of what I assume are some of those gathering at our border right now. I don't know that to be true, but it looks like that. And in this picture, one of them is flipping off the American who's taking the photo, and another guy is gesturing like he's urinating on us. Nice people. So grateful to Cuomo and Newsom for the doloros, is how you say it. But their gestures are really for the American people. They like Newsom and Cuomo. They know that we don't approve. 72% of Americans are not happy with Joe's border. Biden said, no right is absolute. Friend, that's a trick. We are warned to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you need to be fully armored to stand against his wiles. Because his wiles are... well, they're wily. And that's from Ephesians 6:11, by the way. It's in the Bible. Remember that book? It's the one that calls us, you know, tells us that God created man and that he made them male and female. That one, you know, how old-fashioned. It's the source text for our founding documents, particularly that bit in the Declaration about all men being created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. It's the foundation for our liberties. You know, because if your rights are granted to you by government, well, you're a slave, friend. But if they come from a power greater than government or greater than any man, well, then you're free. Corporate communism is trampling all over your First Amendment rights of free speech. And government fascism, communism, is making a grab for your religious liberties. And Joe is trying to get your guns, so you can't defend them. I understand Joe Bama signed an executive order intended to make it more difficult to build your own weapons of self-defense. These are called ghost guns. Interesting. Now, you know, a ghost is an immaterial entity that manifests in the physical world. So when you read Holy Ghost in the Bible, you're talking about a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Otherwise invisible. Biden is troubled by ghosts. Gun ghosts. They haunt him. Perhaps he sees them in his dreams apparitions, moving about his dark mind, haunting his soul. You know, something you can't grab hold of. He can't get his greedy hands on him, you know? Something that is threatening, scary, but you can't see where they are, where they're coming from. You can't even shoot them. Ghost guns. I don't think I've ever seen a ghost gun. Well, that's what the government calls a gun they don't know you have. That's what the government calls a gun they don't have on their federal registration. Joe Obama does not like you. He doesn't like Americans to have guns they don't know you have. What business is it of his? And in his speech, he made the very, remarkably intelligent, brilliant, sophisticated remark that no rights are absolute. You know, that came right out of the bowels of Obama. What a wily devil he is. From that perspective, well, you could argue, well, you know, you don't have an absolute right to free speech, you know. For example, the popular example is it's illegal to cry fire in a crowded theater. See? Now, unless, of course, there is a fire. In other words, you don't have a right to cause harm to others by screaming or yelling fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. So you see how wily the devil plies your mind to compromise your resistance to having your rights incrementally taken away bit by bit by these fascists? Let's start right here. I say we have an absolute right to free speech. But that doesn't give anyone immunity from the consequences of, you know, committing a crime, which would be yelling fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. That's not free speech. That's a crime. Putting people in danger like that. It's not about free speech. Listen, hang on. Brilliant missile of insight coming straight at you. Don't duck. Let it land. Receive the full impact of the explosion of insight. You see, the same is true of the right to bear or to keep and bear arms. It's an absolute right. But no absolute rights include immunity for abuse or committing crimes. Look, if you use a firearm to commit a robbery, that's not about the right to keep and bear arms. That's a crime, committing robbery. Whether you use arms or not, you can commit robbery. And it's a crime. In any event, I think it is a more egregious crime if you take something afforded to you in the way of an inalienable right to keep and bear arms and you use that to prey upon your neighbor. I think that is an egregious crime and is deserving of greater culpability and greater penalty. Yelling fire in a crowded theater is not an example of exercising free speech. That is an exercise in deceit and careless endangerment of others. Free speech has nothing to do with that action. Do you see what I mean? Free speech certainly is absolute, but no one is exempt from responsibility for the exercise or how they exercise this or that or any other absolute right. The right to keep and bear arms is absolute because it is inextricably connected to our absolute right of self-defense. By the way, by self-defense, I mean the defense of, well, ourselves. Our life, our liberty, and the freedom to pursue happiness in this life with our liberty. So when does infringement upon this right occur? It occurs to the point where our right of self-defense is restricted and thereby leaving us exposed to a danger of the loss of our life or liberty or freedom to live our lives enjoying our life and liberty, summarized as pursuing happiness. Hang on, follow along here. In other words, there is no abridgment of our right to self-defense of our lives, our liberties, or our right to pursue happiness in the living out of our liberties that is acceptable. Remember that this was written in a context, this Second Amendment and the First Amendment and all the rest of them, and the Declaration and all that. The context was a biblical understanding of what pursuing happiness would mean to any reasonable person. And in a period in history when government was aggressively interfering with these rights, government was the enemy at that time. So these rights were acknowledged as from God and inalienable, and on those grounds, absolute, in a context where government was the enemy of those rights. And so the right of self-defense includes defense against a tyrannical government. And our founders expressly said this. Any government bent on infringing our absolute rights of self-defense is tyrannical. Now, follow along, class. While my rights are inalienable and absolute, they are not without personal responsibility in their exercise, of course. Now, in order to provide for my defense, I require weapons equal to the threat. The moment that Joe Obama comes along and says the government can have fully automatic weapons, well, then that necessarily means the individuals governed by that government have a right to own arms equal to any potential threat. That's exactly what our founders had in mind. That's what they had in view. And that's what the Constitution recognizes. You see, my friend, the dirty little secret that the fascist communists don't want you to see is that bit, you know, about maintaining a militia for the protection of the state. You know, that being necessary, right, for the common defense. That on that ground, because of that, in view of that, therefore the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, means that because it will be necessary for the state to have at its disposal men of arms to defend the state and to provide for the common defense, it is therefore essential that the people of the state shall not have their personal right to keep and bear arms infringed upon by the government. In other words, because it will be necessary for the federal government to provide for the common defense and therefore have an armed army or militia under its command or police force or whatever, armed men in the employment of the government. Because of that, the right of the people, the common man, the private citizen, the individual, to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That is, it shall not be limited in any way so as to make it impossible to defend themselves against a future King George or King Biden or King Joe Obama. That's the intent, my friend. You know, if the government can't trust us with guns, why do we trust them with them? You can't just paint all the people with the brush that defines on anybody's canvas, somebody, some monster that goes about shooting people like these mass murderers are out rampaging right now. And one has to wonder what's going on here with all that, you know. How well timed it is. Just when their government's coming in trying to grab our guns, you got some crazy people out there misusing them. If you trust Joe Obama with the absolute responsibility to defend you, you have become a slave and you're no longer really a citizen. Joe Obama says, no rights are absolute. That's a wily lie. The truth is, all inalienable rights are absolute. The issue is not whether the right is absolute. Of course it is. The wily devil tries to confuse the issue and use, now listen carefully to this, and use infringement upon your rights as a way to address issues that are actually related to crimes and not rights. They want to equate a right to bear arms with the crimes committed by some with arms. In other words, no one has a right to bear arms against their neighbor in order to steal their money or property or life. No one has a right to armed robbery. But that has nothing to do with the right to keep and bear arms for self-defense. Do you see how wily is the devil? The fact is, the minute you put a restriction on the right to keep and bear arms, well, you've crossed into infringement against the absolute right of a person to hold arms sufficient for their self-defense. No one has a right to commit armed robbery, but that is 100% unrelated to the right to keep and bear arms. If you attempt to address the crime of armed robbery or armed aggression by infringing on the right of the people to keep and bear arms, you're only deceiving yourself and the I-dot bobbleheads that don't think. The criminal is going to get what arms he can to give himself what advantage he wants over those he intends to victimize. By criminalizing the right to keep and bear arms, you've criminalized self-protection from these people. The right to keep and bear arms cannot be criminalized because it is an inalienable and natural right of man. Criminalizing this natural and inalienable right does nothing to stop criminals because criminals are, by definition, lawbreakers. No one is so smart they can manipulate thousands of people into voting for them, and then with that power be so stupid as to think criminalizing a natural right somehow interferes with criminals committing crimes against and contrary to law. Therefore, I must conclude these people trying to infringe upon our natural and inalienable and therefore absolute right of self-defense is themselves a criminal who's preparing to rob you of your life and liberty and then take control of your pursuit of happiness. We must stand against the wiles of the devil and his representatives in government. We must stand against the wrong-headed nonsense that removing weapons from law-abiding citizens somehow magically removes them from criminals. Parents, take your children away from these devils that indoctrinate them in these and other lies. And parents, American God-fearing adults, stand up and lead in your communities. Quit sitting back and just watching this go on. Get up and get engaged. All inalienable God-endowed rights are absolutely outside of government rightfully infringing. Not the best sentence I ever constructed, but you get the point. But of course that doesn't make anyone immune from their responsibility for criminal actions. You don't address criminal actions by criminalizing individual, inalienable, and God-given rights. And that, my friend, is the absolute truth of it. I'll be right back.
God's people face a critical battle for America. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. Went a little long in the first segment. I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit here. I remember when a child, I thought like one, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's a little something there from the Apostle Paul out of the Bible. And this, be not children in understanding. He said, in malice be childlike or be children, but in understanding be men. A manly understanding with a childlike faith. That's the formula for a real man of God. Paul said, in malice be children. The word malice speaks of evil intent, ill will toward another. And this, be immature, he would say, unskilled, be easily shamed. Be persuadable to repent, but in understanding, and that word speaks of having discernment of what is fundamental to a thing. You might say it refers to something that stands under, or somebody who comprehends what stands under, who rightly perceives a matter, and whose sympathies and cognitive faculties are rightly aligned with reality. Well, we sure need that today. But really, in understanding, don't be like a child. Rather be manly, mature, skilled, not gullible, not easily deceived. Isn't it remarkable how consistently true it is that people who are manly in their malice are childlike in their understanding? Those who are skilled in deceiving others, skilled in their schemes to work out their evil plans, are also, more often than not, susceptible to being themselves deceived. Indeed, deceiving and being deceived, as the Bible puts it, foolish. So much so it's hard for heaven to restrain laughter. As a child, I was encouraged to believe in science, to trust scientists, and to revere them as purveyors of ultimate truth. I mean, at school as I was growing up, but at home too, the ideal of science was to get at the truth about the physical universe, and the rigors of the scientific method were all in place to ensure this would be achieved. We had laying all about my house where I grew up, Popular Mechanics, Astronomy, other magazines, some more technical than others. My dad was a man of science. I became a man and realized that scientists are, after all, men, susceptible to all the dark motivations plaguing mankind generally, and greedy men particularly, especially if they're government connected, you know, establishment scientists who depend on the government for their funding. So after about 1,000 disappointments, not the least of which was the fake evidence they kept throwing up there at us, supporting evolution, you know, like Piltdown Man. How many times do we have to get lied to before we figure out these people are just liars? Well, let's just say that I've adopted a kind of trust but verify approach to anything any scientist tells me. I read this verse in the Bible and thought of how over 2,000 years ago, God had warned his pastor's old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. 1 Timothy 6:20, lately, they have pretty much ruined the integrity of medical doctors. What a pack of quacks. I'll tell you, the only saving grace in this current mess is the large number of real doctors who have genuine medical integrity that are bravely resisting this theft of science going on by the establishment medical community. I mean, people like phony Fauci and his let's reduce the planet population by about 6 billion people friend, Gates. They pretty much destroyed vaccine credibility, haven't they? I've never been an anti-vaxxer. Good things have come from the works of men like Jonas Salk and Albert Sabin and others, but I truly am now suspicious of anything Fauci Gates would be peddling. To vaccinate or not to vaccinate? That is the question. Back in 2017, Fauci and friends anticipated, in fact, they planned for resistance to the vaccine. They foresaw a guy like me. Something I'll get into shortly. They were so prescient in their predictions, I'm shocked I could not find my own name listed as among those who would decry their push to vaccinate everyone against a disease from which almost everyone survives. Yeah, a fatality rate of only 0.003% ages 0 to 19, and then 0.02% in ages 20 to 49, 0.5% in ages 50 to 60. You don't get to any real concern until you hit 70 and above, and that's set now at 5.4%. And friend, that does not even take into consideration the vast majority of those who died suffered from other morbidities. They call it comorbidities, you know. So the CDC reports that really only 6% of all who died with COVID actually died from COVID exclusively. And that doesn't even take into consideration the vast majority of the deaths among the highest risk category died because, it's hard to say this, but what can I tell you? It's the truth. They died because people like Cuomo and Newsom and Whitmer and Wolf and Murphy used their powers as governors in their respective states to knowingly compel elderly care facilities and workers to receive positive patients. And they were told, they're gonna infect others. We can't control this. We don't have the facilities for this. They had other options. They were given other options. They were told what would happen if they did this. And they did it anyway. Are they just plain stupid or are they just plain evil? Someone needs to investigate this because it sure looks like they figured these people were a drain on a medical dole, on society as a whole. And like the Nazis, they decided to send these people to their deaths. Well, in their mind, this was a win-win, eh? Get rid of a social burden and gin up the COVID death count? Hey, how can we lose? So in light of this, I took interest in a statement recently made by a former vice president and chief science officer of Pfizer. And by the way, Pfizer, in case you don't know, refers to itself as the world's premier biopharmaceutical company. And they make one of the more popular COVID vaccines being used right now. So this former chief science officer of Pfizer spoke that in his view, the drive to inject the largest possible portion of the population with experimental COVID-19 vaccines is, quote unquote, madness and involves, quote unquote, evil, includes, quote unquote, crimes against humanity, and may have the intention of, quote, massive scale depopulation, end quote. I apologize, I'm reading this and I thought I was reading the full quote. Let me find it. Okay, here it is. Former chief science officer and vice president of Pfizer said, quote, please warn every person not to go near top-up vaccines. There's absolutely no need to them. Now, there's an ellipsis here which suggests or tells me there was something, you know, jumped over in the quotation, just the full disclosure here. And then he picks it up. If someone wished to harm or kill a significant proportion of the world's population over the next few years, the systems being put in place right now will enable it. It's my considered view that it is entirely possible that this will be used for massive scale depopulation, end quote. Wow. I'm just reporting what the man said. His views are similar to those of Geert Vandenbosch, except Yaden doesn't think an alternative vaccine is the answer. It's complicated, but the idea is that the present vaccines are actually only going to train the virus to get around the vaccine and trigger a natural immune response that will, well, kill the patient. Like so much of what is going on with this COVID thing, the vaccine madness has, quote, no medical rationale for it, end quote. And by the way, that includes the masks and social distancing. Yeah, I just checked my time on this segment. And you know what? I spent so much time researching today, I simply ran out of time for show production. So I suggest you join me tonight for my comforting counsel for the present distress, a visit that I provide live stream on all nights except church nights. And or you can go to our website and get my notes and study these documents that I'm going to reference here. By the way, Alex Jones did an excellent 35-40 minute special report on this that I thought was very well done. You might want to look at that. But I went and I got the original documents and studied them all myself to verify everything. This Fauci, Gates, Bloomberg, Johns Hopkins paper lays out a special war op simulation in which they virtually planned out phase by phase, I mean almost perfectly paralleling what we experienced with COVID-19 from about November 2019 through to the present. And it is weird how almost identical the plan they laid out in 2017 tracks what appears to be the execution of that plan beginning November 2019, running to the present. And that's called SPARS 2025-2028. It was put together in 2017. Someone called this the plandemic. You read the documents that I've compiled with these notes and you'll have to make up your own mind about it. But the evidence is very compelling. And then I got a chance to view a video of Joshua Merritt. He is a hacker, the hacker, actually, that worked for Allied Security Operations Group, ASOG, and helped Sidney Powell put together her case against Dominion. In this video, he painstakingly outlines in detail how he has connected the dots that prove beyond reasonable doubt China's interference in our 2020 elections. You can get this on Rumble. I'm trying to think of the professor's record, I think is what it's called. The professor's record. I mean, this guy goes into detail and provides the background for all of the supporting all the allegations Powell has floated out there. And I'll probably go into that on my visit for Saturday night. But for now, I must adieu. Scott at the station there is waiting for the show so it can be posted on the radio tomorrow. Anyway, I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. Now, I don't usually answer that. Every now and then I will, if I happen to be available. But more often than not, I don't answer it. You just leave a message for me. So if you want me to call you back, you need to tell me that that's what you want me to do. I'd be glad to. I'd love to talk to my listeners. Or you can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. brainmassage.net. You can find the contact us button, send me an email. You can leave a message on our lights on hotline at 805-314-2114 or email me at brainmassage.net. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to godswar2020.com. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon. Go to GodsWar2020.com.